Welcome to the Beyond the Shoe Box Score Podcast, where you hear from current and former Sacred Heart student athletes and coaches. Here's your host, Dan Gardella.
What's up, and welcome back to the Beyond the Shoe Box Score Podcast. My name is Dan Gardella. So happy to have you back again for episode 3. We have another great guest for this episode. The voice of the Pioneers, Randy Brochu, joined me to talk about so many different things from his career outside of Sacred Heart, how he got his foot in the door at Sacred Heart, and how he progressed throughout Sacred Heart, and now he's off doing some great things with UConn hockey. He's still doing Sacred Heart sports. He's still calling basketball, hockey, football, lacrosse. He does it all still at Sacred Heart, but obviously not a full-time staff member anymore, but nevertheless, he is always welcome in the shoe community. He's been doing it for so many years now, but before we get to that, there was some big news in the college world this past week as the NCAA finally announced a start date for college basketball. And when I tell you Christmas in September, it certainly felt like that, you know, with the start date being announced by the NCAA for November 25th, can't start any earlier than that. And that is when the 2020-2021 college basketball season can start. Not saying it will start for all schools at that time, but the NCAA has given the thumbs up for schools to start scheduling with that start date in mind, and it's a perfect time. At that point, most colleges will be done for the semester in terms of on-campus learning. I know with Sacred Heart, we're done by Thanksgiving. All students are home by the 24th, and the 25th is when the season can start, so there are possibilities for Sacred Heart to even host home games if that is what is included in their schedule. And I know from talking with coaches from the men's and the women's teams that scheduling has already become something that has been ramped up very quickly. They're already talking about scheduling, how many games they can schedule, if they can fit them in before they would start a conference slate, which would probably be around the same time as it usually would in a normal college basketball season, whether it be the beginning of the new year in 2021 or a couple weeks before the 2021 year. So I know that the ideal position for mid-majors is to schedule some non-conference games because they still need to try and get some games in sort of as prep games, as I was told, before they go into Northeast Conference play. I know on the men's side, they're going to try and get as close as they possibly can to the 9 non-conference games that they're allowed to schedule. On the women's side, they're still trying to figure out things in terms of regionalized games, travel times, logistics, all that kind of stuff. And that's how it's going to be for the next couple weeks, as you know, it's only been 4 or 5 days now since this news came out, and the wheels have been spinning, not even just for Sacred Heart, for probably every single college basketball program, Division I program. They've started to begin to schedule and reach out and try and get games scheduled now. So at least that part's taken care of. Obviously, with COVID and all the situations that have been going on, nothing is set in stone. We are still 2 months away from college basketball possibly tipping off. There's no given that it will tip off depending on what transpires over the next 2 months. Obviously, with COVID, things pop up out of the blue, testing, all that kind of stuff. In terms of testing for college basketball athletes and how they're going to plan to do it, the recommendation from the NCAA was 3 times a week, which it can be doable. I think financially it would be a struggle for some mid-majors. Obviously, going through the entire spring season without any sports was a huge hit financially. These colleges took a huge hit financially. So athletics can take a hit from that. So by being able to try and schedule some games, possibly make some money back if they schedule high major games. I know within Sacred Heart, that's probably not going to happen in terms of scheduling a high major game unless there was guaranteed money or significant guaranteed money given to Sacred Heart to play them, which from what I've heard right now is not what's happening right now when they're trying to get these scheduled games. So we could possibly see a lot of in-state games, a lot of games within the tri-state area, something that, you know, short travel time, easy to get to, and can come back and no overnight stays required. That is the dream for the non-conference scheduling. Once they get into conference play, then there's a whole other set of possibilities and things to explore, such as bubbles and a neutral location. I know for Power Fives, that's more of a possibility to be able to put teams into a neutral location and bubble them and be able to take care of a lot of games at a time. But for a mid-major, it can be a little bit more difficult. But for Sacred Heart and being in a conference like the Northeast Conference, most of the schools are within a close proximity. You got in Connecticut, you have Central Connecticut State and Sacred Heart, obviously. You have in New York, St. Francis, Brooklyn, Wagner. In Massachusetts, you have Merrimack. In Rhode Island, you have Bryant. You have schools that are all close together. The one stretch would be St. Francis out in western Pennsylvania. Thankfully, no Robert Morris anymore as they move to the Horizon League. So that would probably be the one question mark I would have right now. I'm sure the league has already started talking about how they're going to do it and everything like that. So now we just wait. We wait to see what the leagues themselves will do, because while the NCAA has said that they can start on November 25th, it's up to the leagues to decide rulings in terms of when conference play is going to start, when the teams are going to be able to put that together, and then furthermore, what the scheduling is going to look like as we get closer and closer. But as I said, I will take the start date. The official date has already been decided, November 25th. Hopefully we can get to it without any issue, running into any issues along the way. But for now, we can just sit back, wait, and see what other news comes in. I know the bubbles and the preseason tournaments for high major teams, there's been a lot of scheduling with that. And I know Maui got brought into, I believe it was South Dakota, the battle for Atlantis in the Bahamas. Things get moved around. Things are getting pushed around. Teams are backing out, all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be a lot of news in the coming future, I think, with all these teams moving around, the tournaments getting moved around, all that kind of stuff. But it's good talk. It's college basketball talk, something I've been craving since the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament got canceled back in March. So I am here for any college basketball talk. So I'm very happy to be able to certainly think about the possibility of college basketball starting in 2 months, but just being able to talk about it and have updated news and stuff like that. But anyway, we move over to our guest of the podcast, the one and only Randy Brochu. And we'll talk about this one story that I want to bring up before I introduce him. I was 2 weeks away from moving into Sacred Heart for my freshman year, and I wanted to get into sports media. I wanted to find a way to get my foot in the door as soon as I stepped foot on campus. And luckily, I was able to be pointed in the right direction, and before I even started Sacred Heart, I got to meet Randy. And I had gone into his office and said, at the time I wanted to go into play-by-play commentating, but essentially I wanted to get into sports media as a whole. How was I going to be able to do that? What do I have to do? And he gave me probably a lot of great advice in terms of getting your foot in the door, saying yes to things, that kind of thing. But the one piece of advice that he told me that still resonates with me, probably for the duration of my professional career in sports media, is to cover the sports, love the sports, but also don't forget to be a fan of the sports at the same time. And I know there have been many times where I have taken a step back and looked at the game and said, wow, I am able to cover college basketball, college football, baseball, to be able to cover these events and take it in as a fan, because I think that's where you know, so many people want to be in sports media people's shoes. They want to not only not have to pay to go to games, but get paid to go to games and talk to players. That's the sort of thing that many people want to do, but they don't understand the sacrifices it takes to get to a point like that. And Randy talks about that as well in his own broadcasting career, how he gets into it, all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, the voice of the Sacred Heart Pioneers, Randy Brochu. Joining me now on the podcast is a voice that you are very familiar with if you have been listening, watching Sacred Heart Sports for just over 10-plus years. It's Randy Brochu. Randy, it's good to see you and talk to you again. It's felt like years since we've seen each other, but it's only really been 6 months. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well, as best can be during a challenging time. We were talking a little bit off air, but you know, it's been a challenging time for every person that you know, every person in the world. So relatively speaking, very happy to be healthy, and loved ones are too, but certainly missing you and everybody at Sacred Heart, certainly the coaches, and of course the student athletes, and wishing everybody a safe and healthy return to campus as you begin what is going to be the most different looking semester of your lives.
Oh yeah. I mean, already there's been so many things that if you told me we were going to have to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart and do all these things on campus a year ago, I would have never believed you. So yeah, it certainly has been a bit of an adjustment, but I think people are starting to kind of get the hang of it. But let's just jump right into it. You've been
the voice of Sacred Heart Sports for 12 years. This is going into your 12th year as the voice. When did you first realize or think to yourself that you wanted to be a play-by-play broadcaster?
Oh my goodness. Going back, 11 years old. I used to call a local talk show in Hartford, the Arnold Dean Sports Talk with Arnold Dean on WTIC AM 1080. And as an 11-year-old, I would like call in, and Arnold Dean was just, he's the Dean of Sports in Connecticut, just a gentleman, a legend. I was such a fan of his, and he was so gracious and nice to let this 11-year-old kid who really loved the Red Sox and the Hartford Whalers onto the air. And, you know, he would kind of, you know, get a kick that a kid that young would enjoy such a thing. Well, John Valentin of the shortstop for the Red Sox at the time was a guest one day, and he got a kick out of it too. A couple months later, I got a call from WTIC. My mom was waiting for me at the door, and I came in from playing outside, said, "You're never going to guess who just called." WTIC called, said, "John Valentin said, find the kid I talked to on the radio. I want to bring him to Fenway Park. To give him like a, you know, a great experience because he loves the game so much." And that day I met some of my favorite players. John Valentin will always be one of my favorites. Mo Vaughn, Roger Clemens, Andre Dawson. And I also met a bunch of Peter Gammon, Sean McDonough, two of my absolute favorite broadcasters. And I said to myself on August 13th, 1993, probably not good enough to play baseball for a living. Maybe I could work in sports for a living. Wouldn't that be cool? We took the train through Boston University that day to get there. That's where I ended up going and getting my undergrad in journalism and chasing the dream. And was very fortunate all those years ago that you mentioned to land at Sacred Heart University, which is just so special to me. And to be the voice of the Pioneers is really like one of the joys of my life. I have enjoyed so much covering all the great student athletes through the year and making the friendships with the coaches, the friendship with the alumni, and all the great people I've worked with through the years. It's a real blessing to be that for Sacred Heart.
That's so funny that, so you go to Fenway as an 11-year-old and you're there and you're meeting all these idols and everything. And in your mind, you're thinking, I don't want to play. I don't think I'll be able to play on the field. So you immediately are like, I want to go be in sports media. That's just a unique point of view. I know for me, I think it was maybe 14 or 15 years old. So not too far after, but as an 11-year-old, you're still playing sports.
You're going to play shortstop for the Red Sox or the Yankees at 11-year-old, right? Like we're all making the major leagues. And yeah, no, I don't know. I knew I was a little late on the fastball and had some trouble with the curve too. So maybe, the headset was better than the batter's box.
All right. Well, so you move right into my next question. So you do end up staying in the Boston area for school. You go to Boston University, you graduate with your degree in journalism. And from there, you jump right into the sports media field. You're a sports producer for NBC 30 in West Hartford. You're doing stuff with the New Britain Rockettes. You're jumping into all these different things. And you even worked with a minor league affiliate with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, just talk about the grind. I know, you know, from talking to people who have been in the business, just talk about, you know, going through all these different jobs and these different roles. And how do you feel you grew as a broadcaster during those times?
Well, you referenced that minor league job with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Before I was the voice of the Pioneers, I was very proud to be the voice of the Yakima Bears, Yakima, Washington. I drove 3,000 miles from Connecticut to never been to Washington. And always, that had always been kind of another one of those dreams in college, like going out west and seeing the country. And I got that opportunity by submitting a tape and applying for their open director of broadcasting job. And it changed my life. I met just some of the most wonderful people who are, I consider my West Coast family out in Yakima. They gave me the opportunity to be the voice of a minor league baseball team and get into that grind of, it was, you know, a rookie league. So not 162 games like the major leagues or even 144 like the full season, but 73 games, 76 games in 79 days. And it's exactly that. It's finding a way when you don't have your best to be able to get out there and do a professional job, describe every pitch, connect with the people who welcome you into their cars and their backyard barbecues and their homes. And the people out there, they love the Mariners and they're great baseball fans. And they really, really, you know, would listen to the games on the radio. It was really, as a baseball fan, and I think baseball, I love all sports, but baseball holds a special place to me. There's something about that connection with your hometown radio announcer that, you know, is describing what you can't see and painting that picture in those, in just the most like beautiful landscape you ever saw. If you grew up on the East Coast, it was like wild to see what beautiful Washington looked like. That was, I think, when I really had the opportunity to be a voice for somebody, be that hometown voice that I so cherish at Sacred Heart University now. What I always try to keep in mind there, that I try to bring to our Sacred Heart broadcasts always, is that somebody really cares about that game right now. You better care about it as much as them and give them a wonderful, as good of an experience as you can, because they care about the game. They're invested in it. So you should be too, and you should be on top of everything and do it with fun and enthusiasm.
So you're a Connecticut guy. I mean, you come from New Britain, Connecticut. You know, you come to Sacred Heart. I had to plug in, you know, the hometown. I know how
proud, New Britain, baby.
I know how proud you are of New Britain. So I had to plug it for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So does New Britain.
You come to Sacred Heart in the school year of 2008-2009. Talk about how you came across the job or the opportunities at Sacred Heart, because I know we had talked off air. You'd started it as a freelance broadcaster. How did you get your foot in the door at Sacred Heart?
Well, I this might play interesting on a Sacred Heart themed broadcast here, but Quinnipiac University gave me my start. Mr. Bill Schweitzer, who is a tremendous broadcaster and the voice of the Bobcats, hired me out of college to kind of back him up, do the hockey games when he was doing the basketball games, vice versa. So I got my start there and met Don Cook, the athletic director at Sacred Heart, who's just such a gentleman and one of my favorite people I've met through the years. And the head of sports information at the time at Sacred Heart, Gene Gums, who I knew from a broadcast internship with the Norwich Navigators and really got to know. And he really gave me my break. He emailed me while I'm out in Yakima, when the season is winding down. I'm like, what am I going to do next? And I got an email from Gene saying, hey, we have an opening, you know, doing our hockey games. I know you did I like the job you did at Quinnipiac, and I know you're going to be reliable. You want to do the Sacred Heart games. So, you know, Sacred Heart hockey, and I love all the teams at Sacred Heart, and I've been blessed to be on some wonderful moments from, you know, men's and women's basketball and football and baseball and men's lacrosse. But hockey holds a special place to me at Sacred Heart because they really gave me that chance. Sean Hanna was the coach at the time, couldn't have treated me better. And then CJ Maritolo came in the next year and has become, you know, a true friend and somebody I really love. And that whole program, we went on a heck of a run that year, a lot like last year's Sacred Heart hockey team, who I feel so much emotion for, that they didn't get the opportunity to finish what was, you know, in my opinion, probably the best team in Sacred Heart hockey history, along with that team I'm referencing that went all the way to the Atlantic Hockey Championship in 2010, CJ's first year. So that is my usual long-winded way of saying that's how I got in, and I owe a lot of it to Sacred Heart hockey.
So as you're with Sacred Heart, you're doing freelance and stuff. In 2013, you come to Sacred Heart as a student. You enter the master's program for digital communication at Sacred Heart. How do you feel the program? And I mean, even, you know, since then, the program has continued to grow and has become such a very prestigious now program. How do you feel it helped you when you were on the headset calling games and working in the media field?
Tremendously. And I cannot say enough about that program. I'm so happy. I never thought I was going to pursue a master's. That was not in the plans. It was, you know, to just get into that sports field and work and, you know, you're going to get your education that way. And, you know, I had the opportunity as a full-time employee at Sacred Heart to, you know, take advantage of tuition, you know, the tuition opportunity that they give full-time employees and further my education. And I am so, so happy I did, and met a real mentor in Joe Alicastro, who was instrumental as not just a professor, but helping me in the MACOM program kind of see out a vision and earn credits for and actually get my education through in the master's program by putting a production team together to do enhanced broadcasts of our football games. And, you know, fortunately, there were a lot of other great classmates I had who were very talented and working in the field, who happened to be in the program at the same time and come together and kind of become what is the system now, where the students are in their education working on these very professional broadcasts and building their resumes and building their portfolios on SNY now. And just the great product that I think NEC Front Row is. I mean, that's a great vision by the Northeast Conference and Ron Ratner and Noreen Morris, and what they've done with this digital platform. I'm grateful for, because I get the opportunity to do a really, really professional production at Sacred Heart University with the students contributing to it. So I think it's those are the best kind of programs, where you can actually learn by doing, and that's what you get in the master's programs in the School of Media Arts. So I love continuing to work with guys like Brian Thorne and Andrew Miller and Jim Castengay and the whole crew there, who share the same vision we all do of coming together, putting together a really quality product, and having people be able to see your classwork. It's not classwork, it's professional. And I cannot say enough about that program.
So, I mean, let's talk about it, since you already alluded it to, you know, this year, this past season, the school partnered with SNY and they put on Sacred Heart football games, Sacred Heart basketball games, and even the Connecticut Classic, the Connecticut Ice Classic in the end of January. Those were all on SNY. So you got to call a handful of games that were going on SNY, which is, you know, around this area is such a huge network. How do you, you know, can you even describe what it was like to not only be on a call for a television game that is so, you know, viewed in this area, compared to maybe when you first started and you were doing NEC Front Row and things were still kind of a process of building up?
Oh, and before that, it was audio only. I started on WICC. That used to be the home of Sacred Heart Pioneer Athletics out of Bridgeport. You know, it was a radio call, and it has evolved as the field has evolved into a multimedia platform. And so, you know, doing the game on SNY, the only difference really from doing it on Front Row is that we're in 11 million homes potentially, but, you know, we're still putting out the same quality product, I think, for the people streaming at home on NEC Front Row. But it really, for me, I just was very proud of Sacred Heart, of being able to be a part of something that was kind of our vision, you know, my classmates and my shared vision and the people back to, you know, the media studies department vision and the people in the athletics department, my good friends in the athletics department. We shared a vision that we could do this and we could help expand the profile of not just Sacred Heart Pioneer Athletics, but Sacred Heart University, help put Sacred Heart on the map. Obviously, our director of athletics, Bobby Valentine, has been instrumental in that. And like, how cool to get to work for him and get to know the man who you thought you knew before when you were watching baseball growing up, and then you really get to know. And I mean, what a cool person and great guy, and somebody who wants to help everybody that he can at Sacred Heart, and someone I really appreciate. You know, and obviously his ties to SNY and the New York Mets, you know, have only helped enhance our brand at Sacred Heart, have only helped make these connections so that, you know, we also have the opportunities to expand Sacred Heart's foothold throughout the Northeast and the whole country and beyond with our international programs.
let's go back to, you know, your time at Sacred Heart as staff and in the athletic department. So you come in, you originally were a part of athletic communications, then you shift to the student athlete support services, and you really got to work hands-on with the student athletes at Sacred Heart. What was, you know, how does that differ, you know, when you are talking to these students, maybe as a broadcaster compared to working with them outside of the field where you kind of get to develop a little bit more of a relationship with them?
I think that it helped. I think there was a little bit of overlap there because, you know, kids don't care what you know till they know you care. And I really cared about the young women and men I got to kind of mentor and help academically and beyond. You know, student athlete support services it's hard being a student athlete. It's also really cool and it's a great privilege, and they are very special people. You know, there's a lot of high school seniors that have that dream of getting to that next step and you know, being a Division I student athlete that don't get to fulfill that. But it is very challenging. There is support needed along the way. And I really, you know, I just I'm so proud of so many of them to see them, the alumni now who came through and are really successful in whatever it is their interest is. And to be able to be like a part for their final 4 years of their undergrad, you know, for some of them, unless they were furthering their education, their educational journeys, it was a blessing, you know, and they taught me a lot. You know, they kept me young. They kept me, you know, in tune with, you know, the evolving world. So I think that's what higher education is, right? It's give and take. That's the best kind of education is, you know, a lot of synergy between the actual teaching of it and the actual learning of it. We're always learning. Great educators are always learning. You know, the best teachers I ever had have showed me that. You know, so I wanted to be always, you know, a great resource for them, you know, and be that part of their educational journey. Tammy Petroselli, my colleague who just cares so much, is one of the best people I've ever met, and one of my favorite people. Hi, Tammy, if you're watching. She runs such a great support system for our student athletes. You know that when you come to Sacred Heart, you're going to get good support. You're going to get people that actually really truly care and will lead you the right way, and present opportunities for you. So, you know, how it differs from broadcasting is I think when I could talk to them about their athletics, they knew I was invested in their success athletically. Now I can talk to you about your academics. Now I can talk to you about what you want to do with your life and which path you want to take professionally and personally through your journey. So there was overlap, I think. And, you know, I think I was able to catch their ear maybe a little bit by showing them how interested I was in what obviously mattered dearly to them, their athletics, their performances.
So let's go back to your broadcasting at Sacred Heart. Now, there have been two specific plays during your time that have, let's just say, gotten national recognition. So I want you to choose. Which call do you like better, the Moses Webb double fumble or the EJ Anasicki putback dunk?
Oh, wow. EJ's dunk. I mean, I'll never forget, like everybody, Joe DeSantis, one of my wonderful broadcast partners, at Sagarot, we stood and he's slapping me on the back and we're, you know, it was just this like shocking rock the pit moment. The energy that happened in that moment was something I don't think I have. I've seen some great moments at Sacred Heart. Sometimes when, you know, the place really burst, but there was a factor to that dunk that I don't know if I've ever experienced at the Pitt Center. But the Moses Webb double fumble, I am most proud of that one as a play-by-play announcer because it threw every wrinkle you could ever imagine into one single play. You're talking about swings of emotion, and I try to identify people. And seven stats happened on that play. He had a catch. He had a fumble. He had a tackle. He had a forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. And he had a touchdown I will never forget. It is the craziest play I've ever witnessed live. And that was early on in the days when our production team from MACOM was getting our feet wet, and we nailed it. Everybody on that production team nailed that moment. I got, you know, and I'm very, you know, thankful for all the kind words I got, you know, that then and on through the years on the call. But I throw all the credit to the production team, nailing it, following the ball. Again, we're early on. It's not like the SNY quality we're producing now. Everybody that day, Stalin Nunez, our producer, the camera people, Terrence White, my broadcast partner, was awesome in that. Give me that ball back. I love that, I think, more than anything I said. But it was the ultimate redemption. And that's just the word that like came to mind at the moment. It was something I couldn't think of. It just was so, again, like natural. So, EJ, I love you. I'm wishing you all the best. I am rooting for you at Tennessee, and I will thank you forever for that moment, that putback dunk. But Moses, my man Moses Webb, is probably my favorite call to Sacred Heart.
Well, it's funny because obviously I was not a student for the Moses Webb double fumble. But I was sitting press row, probably about three seats from you when EJ had that putback dunk. And I remember I was sitting next to Jim Fuller from the New Haven Register, and EJ comes up, it rises up and throws it down. And me and him kind of do this like lean back of like, what just happened here? And
I remember seeing you lean back too. We both leaned back.
And next thing I know, I'm standing up because there was a timeout called right after that. And you're looking at me and I have my hands on my head. Like, I have no idea what just happened. It was
incredible. It is. I'll never forget it. And you know that what's to bring it kind of full circle, Dan, isn't it crazy that like things shut down days later? And I, you know, we were on top of the world that night, right? I mean, you know, the call goes number one on SportsCenter the next morning. I mean, you know, we're moving on. We're going to Loretto. It's this great come from behind win. Spellman with the putback, his first points of the night. Jarrell Spellman, who was such a joy to watch, you know, in his 2 years at Sacred Heart as well. And what a nice young man he is too. So happy for him in that moment. And then days later, the world changes, and here we are in September, kind of, you know, looking back at that moment and when things seemed a lot different than they have over the last few months. And that's another thing. I think of that moment a lot just because things kind of changed on a dime, you know, in the days that followed that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it gets even closer because I made that trip to Loretto just those couple of days later. And that was maybe, I want to say it was maybe April or March 5th or 6th. And then by the 11th, everything was done. So, you know, I was making that trip out there and things were normal and there was this buzz and Sacred Heart was possibly going to make the NEC championship and, you know, they lose in the semifinals, but then you hear they're making a postseason tournament and then all of a sudden all that gets wiped out because, like we mentioned, the world just stopped right in its tracks right there. So that's a great way to look at it. I mean, when that's kind of the last bit of normalcy in Sacred Heart sports that we have, even to this day.
Yep. So much has changed since, but and it will come back. You know, I remain positive. I know that, you know, and I think I said this to you off air too, in the battle between humankind and virus, humankind's always won. You know, when you trust in science and you exhibit a little patience that is very hard, I know, and you just do the right things and do what science says, right? And what science says is do your best to stay apart and, you know, keep your bubbles small. It says wash your hands, which you should be doing anyways, you know, and it says be patient, you know, you do the best you can. And I just hope we're all going to do our part so we can speed up the process because we're going to get there. we're going to be, the pit center will be packed again. I don't know exactly when it's going to be, and but it will happen again. We got to do our part so that we can get past this and trust in science that the vaccine will come and we'll be able to beat this, because we always do, but it takes some patience.
I want to close with two final questions. The first one, and you could take as long as you want to answer this. What is your favorite game that you have ever called across any sport?
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, you know, it's so fresh in my memory, the game we're just talking about, the buzzer beater in the NEC tournament on SNY with a dunk that goes number one on ESPN's top 10 plays. You know, I have a lot of fond memories doing the audio broadcast for Sacred Heart Baseball too, and getting to call that first champ. You never forget your first championship in 2011. Troy Scribner, who would go on to become Sacred Heart's first major leaguer, was just, you know, he was just incredible that year. And Nick Linegan, who's come back to coach at Sacred Heart, which I was so happy to see. He was on that team, and some really great young men gave me such a joy to call. That was a run. That was a wild run. It's all the championships at Sacred Heart, right? It's the 2012 baseball championship. The 2015 baseball championship was such a great moment. Getting to call Sacred Heart football's first in Moon Township back in 2013, and seeing Mark Nofri get the Gatorade bath at the end from the basement to the moon, going from last place to first place in Coach Nofri's first official year. Oh, man, it is really hard to choose, I have to say, because those moments are so all very special. I'm thinking of the minor league days as well. For me, it's going to be early on in my career and the semifinal win for Sacred Heart Hockey up in Rochester. Pat Knowlton scoring with 42 seconds left to beat Air Force, who had walloped the Pioneers like a weekend before in Colorado Springs. We could never seem to get past Air Force. We gave up the lead. Breaking the broadcast rule. We didn't do anything. They gave up the lead. I sat in the booth and called the game. I wasn't on the ice. The fandom in me sometimes takes over. You're never supposed to say we as a broadcaster. I'm a big believer of that. But Sacred Heart lost the lead in the final minute, came back 20 seconds later and scored to get to the Atlantic Hockey Championship. And hockey's very special to me too. As I said, and I grew up playing it. And to call like a last minute goal in a semifinal game to send the program that I love so much to the highest level for the first time was my favorite.
And then I will close with this. You know, obviously we've talked about your journey in sports media from when you get out of college and undergrad all the way to calling a game winner in the NEC quarterfinals just 6 months ago. What advice would you give to someone who wants to get into sports media? Because as we've said, it's a grind and there's a lot that goes into it. What would be the best piece of advice you could give somebody?
Dan, it's so great that you're asking me this, because I'm going to throw it back to you and I'm going to tell anybody that wants to get involved in sports media what I told you when you came through my door in my office as a young, eager, going to be a freshman at Sacred Heart. It's to make your own opportunities. Do what you're doing and host a podcast and put yourself out there and get reps, get in front of the camera. You know, I'll never forget my first time going on student radio on WTBU, knowing that like Howard Stern started there. And this, and, you know, BU was a special place to get your start. I was so nervous going on the air as a sophomore on WTBU. But there's nothing like reps. That's the way it is in sports. That's the way it is in sports broadcasting. Get your reps, create your own opportunities. Don't wait for your dream job to open. Create it. Do what you're doing, Dan, and like create. Just create. Just do it. You are getting into a multimedia world where you can create your own situations. Create. Just do it.
Yeah, and I wondered if you were going to bring it up, when I came into your office, I think it was maybe 2 weeks before I even started school, and I had, luckily through my dad who works at the university, I knew who to talk to. I knew to talk to you and Chris O'Connor, and I came in and I said, I want to do this, this, and this, and I had all these aspirations. What do I do? And you gave the same advice, just to go out and do it, and I like to think that you kind of helping me get my priorities in check helped me become where I am today. So, I've said it to you off the air and I'll say it again. I'm very thankful that I was able to meet you that early, and you continue to be a great inspiration for me as I am continuing to go through my academic career and soon to be my professional career in May, even though I'm trying to not think about that. But, I always say I'm very thankful for having to known you and still knowing you and just being able to be a part of so many Sacred Heart memories as you are on the call.
Well, Dan, I thank you very much. One other piece of advice I would do that I didn't follow, I would make sure that when you sit down for a Zoom interview, you plug in your computer. I did not. I'm at 1%, and I'm afraid it's going to go off in a moment. So I want to say I'm very proud of you for the job you do. I think you do. You honestly make me a better broadcaster because the insight that you have with the student athletes. I follow you. You do a great job covering Sacred Heart Athletics. I think everybody at Sacred Heart recognizes that. I know the student athletes appreciate it. As a broadcaster, I appreciate it, and keep doing a great job. You are, you put out really good content, and I enjoy your work a lot.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the podcast again, and hopefully we'll be able to see each other in person very soon.
I miss you all, Sacred Heart. I cannot wait for that first broadcast and that first game, and I can't wait to roll onto campus again. And I wish all the student athletes and all the students and everybody at Sacred Heart the best this year and what's going to be a very different looking year, but we'll make the best of it.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, once again, thanks so much to Randy for hopping on the podcast and being able to talk about everything from his own broadcasting career to how he got to SHU and just the career that he's had in sports media and the relationships that he's made at Sacred Heart. I think if you ask any athlete or coach at Sacred Heart about Randy Brochu, they will say nothing but great things. And I'm one of those people that can say nothing but great things for him and just how caring and compassionate he is to not only doing his job to the best of his ability, but caring about everybody that walks Sacred Heart's campus. So I'm always happy to get to talk to him. It's been 6 months, believe it or not, since I have even seen him, let alone talk to him. So it was really great to catch up there. But that'll do it for this episode. Episode 3 is in the books. We're back next Monday with another spectacular guest. She was a Northeast Conference Player of the Year on the hardwood. She led Sacred Heart to 2 NCAA tournament appearances in the early 2010s. Callan Taylor will join me on the podcast for episode 4. But until then, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.